Lord, we just thank you for today. This is the day that you made, and you sanctified this day, Father, as just a holy time to separate ourselves as a body. So we just come before you today, and we just thank you. We invite you, invite your presence and all that you are into every word that is sung, every word that is spoken, every word that is prayed today. We just give you the glory for this. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Again, every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise to our God. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise to our God, every word of worship and on our call. Every praise to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise to our God, hallelujah. God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, he is, hallelujah, yes, he is. God, my Savior, God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every praise to you, Lord. Every word of worship and what I call. Every praise to you, Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So good for our souls to praise the Lord. So, so good. We just so appreciate your presence in this place today, Father. We thank you that you're with us, you're in us, you're upon us. And we invite you, and we invite the best gifts of your Holy Spirit to come forth in this specific service. And may you and you alone, Father, be glorified. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's a wonderful day in the Lord. I asked my husband if he would share something today. One thing that I know about my husband is I have never heard him worry about our needs being met. He just is a very quiet believer on that. But I asked him if he would share something on his heart that helps him to be that way. And so, John, if you would unmute yourself, I did not mute you.
Yes.
Okay. What's on your heart? What can you share with us?
Well, basically, follow the Lord and your needs will be met. And basically, I went through my days at work acting godly. I was crazy and boisterous, but godly nonetheless. And if something wasn't right for my customers, I wouldn't do it. And my boss would tell me, no, you do it. And I said, no, I have to face these people 3 or 4 times a week. And it's not right. And when I did treat my customers right, they saw that. And when I needed something from them, I automatically got it. And when I was on the stage, right before my retirement, they, off the cuff, they asked me for some advice for the new guys. There was a couple hundred people there in the room. And I said, make the customer your friend, and everything else will fall into place for you. And it was like almost like a foreign concept to management. They just never really thought about it that way. But that's what worked for me. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. That was profound, wasn't it? It was good. Every once in a while, John would have me come to one of his stores. Sometimes it was to help him maybe serve food. And They so respected John. And he had them laughing. Now, all of you that know John, you know that if you're around him long enough, he can be super serious, but he can have you in a split second doubled over laughing. And many times I'm saying, where did that come from? Because I don't know, it just comes. But I believe it's a gift that God gives people in different fields of work. And so thank you, John, for sharing that. Because I think it will go well with what the Lord has said to me today. So I had asked John also, as we were going through the weekend, to put on different military movies. Would you pick one for us to watch? And I wanted a lot of them with ships, and you'll understand in a little bit why. But our last one we finished up today, and it was Midway. Wow, what a story. What a profound story of that. And we can learn so much from just everyday life. I would say, as a believer in this day, it's very, very important that you be able to, because God has gifted us this way, to be able to stand outside of ourselves and look at things, but to really be observant at how people are acting. And because I think you're going to pick up a lot of things that will help you maneuver as you're out and about. But the title of today's message is called Anchor Your Soul to Win Souls. Now, I've been kind of watching the progression. I believe I'm going to get into even more things. But a lot of people don't automatically know how to win a soul, and they don't really know what does that involve. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm the Ministry of Health, or I'm this or that. But every single person has the opportunities come before them, whether they realize it or not, to have an influence in people's life. And really winning somebody is having a great influence, a godly influence on somebody's life. And many times, the person may not even tell you how you are impacting them until maybe later on, or maybe you may never know on this side. But the Holy Spirit can encourage you along the way as to why he's having you do certain things. So years ago, and I know I brought this up, but I used to probably have more dreams than I do today. And I think it's because God knew where I was, and sometimes he knows what he needs to do to help us understand. But if you read the scriptures, he actually gave dreams to even governmental leaders in the Bible to get their attention. And so he knows what we need to help us. And so in this dream, and it was a real pivotal dream, and sometimes it's good to have the Holy Spirit bring back some of these things, because maybe where you were back in those days, you didn't have the substance of God in you to fully understand. Maybe you only got, the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. So maybe you only knew a piece of it. And I did at that time, just a piece. But the more he brings it back to my remembrance, the more I see so much more why he presented the dream the way he did. And so in this dream, I was tied to a rope. And I was walking on a very steep incline. And I knew, these are one thing that is really important when you do get dreams from the Lord, is there's certain things that you're aware of that kind of get your attention. So it's good to write these things down. But anyway, in this dream, it was very steep. And there was a rope tied around me, and a rope tied around this huge tree. Now, I didn't understand what that fully represented, But I knew when I woke up back in those days that it had to do with somebody's soul that I was praying for. So naturally, what I was doing in this dream was impossible, especially if I didn't have that rope on. It would be like you trying to, you know, you see rock climbers and they maybe tie a rope on themselves to go up these rocks. Well, it was a pretty steep incline, and the rope was definitely keeping me from falling. But I was doing, sometimes you think about these dreams and they're like, what? I was like mowing this grass, and it was like, what am I doing? But I realized that he was having me prepare the ground. Now, many times when we minister to people, the Bible says one person plants, one waters, and then God brings the increase. We'll read a little bit about that later. And so sometimes you may go to a person and you may give them a book, or you may say something spiritual to them, and you don't really maybe fully understand why. Well, it's because you're part of the laborers that he is sending. And if we could all stand back and see who has gone before us and where we are in that piece of the puzzle that Patty and I really love to do, we could really understand what God is doing. And so we need to remember that God and his promises are not separate from each other. When you read about his promises, you're reading about who he is, his nature. And so after that, I had another dream. And this other dream, these two dreams were really important, very pivotal dreams in my life. I was on a boat and I had hook, and I know I've shared them before, but every time I get a little bit more revelation to share with you, I share them again. But I was on a boat and I had hooked a very large fish. And I realized from the interpretation from the Holy Spirit that it was symbolic of a soul for the kingdom of God. You know, he says he was going to, he would make us, what does the Bible say, fishers of men, right? And isn't it amazing when you read through the scriptures how much Jesus used very natural things that the people could see every single day to help them understand a spiritual truth? And so in that interpretation from the Holy Spirit, he began to reveal it to me when I woke up from that dream, that fish, and that fish was a big fish, and if you've ever gone striped fisher, bass fishing, and you have a big fish, there's some fish that just kind of barely take it, and they kind of nibble, and then maybe they take it, but stripers, they take it, and they run. And so, as I said, I was like 8 months pregnant with Trisha when I caught the biggest striper of my life, almost 17 pounds. And it took me 15 or so minutes with pressure on it like this. I had full pressure. Every part of me was holding on to that fishing pole to get it to come in. And so I just want you to realize, I know you guys like to fish, and maybe you ladies have done some fishing, but there's a lot of understanding with fishing when it comes to souls. Some fish are easier to bring in. Little baby fish are like children, right? Little teeny ones, they're a lot easier to bring into the kingdom of God than a big fish that's been around, that has seen all the tricks. And so I thank God for those dreams because it helped me to understand when he began to speak to me about that dream. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are crucial in helping us understand dreams, visions, a scripture that you're reading, and why is he having you read that today? And so we must desire from the Lord to be anchored in our soul in this day. Not only do we want others anchored, but when you're anchored in your soul, it will help you to be able to win souls. And when I say anchored in your soul, that means you have to have some solid understanding about winning souls for the kingdom of God. The key to today's message from the Lord is the word your soul. It's good to know thyself. Know how you increase in your faith, how you personally. Now, I know there's basics in the Word of God, but you need to know what is the way that the Lord helps you gain understanding. Some people, they need to watch a movie. They read a scripture, they need to watch a movie, they need to read, they need some kind of picture. Some people need a dream. You know, when you think about all the people in the Bible, why did these things happen the way that they happened? It's because God knew the way that this person was going to be brought into the kingdom of God or to understand. So how do we anchor our soul? Well, how do you anchor an anchor from a ship? You know, I was trying to find a picture, and it wasn't that easy. A lot of times it's because you don't have rights to them. But if you let down an anchor from a ship and it's just sandy on the bottom, the wind's going to blow, and that ship is not going to stay anchored by sand. And so one thing that we found with having a boat is, or if you have an anchor, is you want to be able to catch it on a rock. And I thought it was so important to understand that, because who is our rock? It's Jesus himself. That's where the anchor of our faith is everything about who Jesus is and all of the promises of God. That is our anchor. And so if you are sent out to minister to somebody and they do not have their thoughts anchored in the promises of God, a wonderful little thing you can get them is a promise book. That was probably one of the first books somebody gave me. I didn't realize there was a book full of promises. To me, it was a lot of history. But when it was brought down to a more simplified manner, it helped me, because then when I found a need in my life, I realized there was a promise for every need I had. Do you realize how many people in this world today do not know God has a promise for every need that they have or will have? So, we want to go deeper in understanding, as we have been also through prophetic ministries. So, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11:30. Now, I didn't have this scripture when I had that original dream about the tree that I was tied to. But in Proverbs 11:30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise." Interesting how he put those two thoughts together. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Really, when we are bringing people into understandings of the things of God. We are actually helping to build a tree. Now, I think it's pretty incredible, as I've studied Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who is a neuroscientist, that she said in your brain, when they have done pictures of people with PTSD, that all of your thoughts can be seen and they look like trees inside your brain. If, like, normal looking trees with branches here and branches there and branches there. But if the thoughts are not normal, according to what God would say, like somebody with post-traumatic stress disorder that maybe had a trauma in serving our country, or maybe they grew up abused and got into drugs, that when they went in and did a photo of their brain, that their thoughts were all out of order. Think about it. It could be thoughts that you and I have, but theirs, somebody that's in a trauma, are out of order. I think about our first responders in our military. Those that are stable as a person on the inside can go into the situation, assess it, especially if they're a believer, can understand this person's lost, and they probably weren't brought up right, and they're able to think that out in an orderly way. Where somebody that maybe decided, I want to get into the service or get in and be a first responder, but they have unsettled issues from their past, they come in and their thought process is not a healthy thought from the tree of life. And so I had no idea I was going to go there on this. I think it's important to know, as the Holy Spirit sends us to people to minister to. Think about when maybe the Lord will have you say something to your children, or have you say something to a neighbor, or something to somebody just you're out and about. He knows exactly what's going on in here. Look at me a second if you're not. He knows what's going on in here in the person. And that's why we need to know what he is wanting us to say, because what he wants to do, if they're out of order in their thinking, is rewire them and help them to build that tree of life on the inside of them with their thoughts. So, Proverbs, powerful. Now, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, this is another scripture that came to me as I was studying. It says, and they that, 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, today's going to be interesting because I'm kind of interested in seeing where the Holy Spirit will fully take us. But I realize that he is wanting to lay some groundwork to prepare us in being very aware that he is wanting us to go out as a laborer in a situation, even if it's family, friends, neighbors, somebody you've never met before. And maybe we get this unusual thought to actually say to them. And now we're going to know by talking to him that he is preparing us as these laborers in this day. Because every believer has a part. And God needs every laborer to be trained to know the way. John will never minister to people the way I minister. It's just his gifts are different. His history, his understanding is different, but I've been with him in public settings and stood in awe at how he could engage with somebody. Same with Rich and Patty, two different people. But when God has brought us together in marriage, for those of us that are married, that are on today, he can use us to complement each other. Sometimes the woman may open the door, and sometimes the man may say something later. Now, I'm talking about within your family. Realize, God, for those of you that are married, he wants to use you as a team. And sometimes maybe one person will say something, the other one needs to be interceding for them and just say, Lord, help this person. We need to be aware in our hearts when God is setting an opportunity for us to minister to somebody in a very unthreatening way. So, every believer has a part in this. Most Christians only know they need saving, but aren't trained to bring others to the Lord. But if you look at the first church, they were a full-service church. They each had a part in some way, shape, or form. But I think it's interesting when we think about Martha and Mary, because Martha assumed her only work was in the kitchen. And Mary must have had some part in that work. But when Mary realized, uh-oh, there is some food out there that Jesus has that I need to hear about, and she went and saw, and then Martha gets all upset because Mary is not helping her. And what did Jesus say? Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen that good thing that will never be taken away from her. And I believe God is saying this to the church, that it is time that we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus to get what we need to feed hungry souls, even Christians that are hungry because they're not getting the right food for the situation. There are practical things that we all need to know about the Bible. And that's why I always have John or Rich or Patty or some give me some history. Those things are really, really important to know. And we also need to remember all of our parts. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's important to also know that not one of us is more important than another. Not one of us is more important. And so when Paul spoke to the Corinthian church in verse 6 of chapter 3, he said, I have planted. What was he planting? He was talking about planting the word of God like a seed. So he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, what would that look like in real life? That means the Apostle Paul shared something about the Lord, and then Apollos came and reinforced it by watering it. Now, what did he do? That means he watered something that Paul had already talked about. It would be like Patty maybe sharing a scripture with a relative. And then suddenly this relative has a neighbor come and they start talking about the same thing. How many of you have ever encountered this yourself? Or somebody has ever said, oh, somebody else just told me that. Okay. Well, that is the seed planter and the waterer in action. But God is the one that's working on making sure it increases. so that when the person lies down to sleep, he's able to speak to them. Because once it's planted in that person's mind and heart, then the Holy Spirit can use while they're sleeping. You know how he says, pray that he speaks to us in the night season? Well, it's always good. If you go out and you share something with somebody about the Lord, you give them a word from the Lord, or you share some spiritual thing, then your part is to go home and pray that the Lord takes that. And your prayers are like water, watering. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So don't get me wrong. That means I'm nothing. You might say, well, you're the one that's ministering. You're the minister. No, I may be planting, but according to God, he's the only one that can make it increase. But we still need people out there planting. It says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So you may be used by God to send a spiritual truth to somebody, maybe a cassette tape, maybe a DVD, something. The Holy Spirit just prompts you to send somebody something spiritual, a book. And then somebody else comes, and maybe they happen to be with this person in their home, and they see the book, and they said, oh, you've read that? And then that person gets into their conversation. What are they doing? They're watering what you just planted. But still, again, only God brings the increase. And this is why it's so important. If we're going to go through what it takes to plant and water, then we need to intercede that God brings that increase, that he takes what was sown in people's hearts and produces what he wants it to produce. When you look at the scriptures and you see so many leaders in government had incredible dreams when they were encountered by a godly person that spoke into their life. Can you all think of some of the stories of people that were impacted by Daniel? He impacted the leader in his day. So, notice each person's place or their part. And embrace your part. Get to know. I want you to think about, what is the way that God has used me to either plant or water something that he has planted through somebody else? For example, say I'm planting right now, or I may be watering some things that you've heard before, and then I put it on social media. You pass it on, and now you're sending it off to water others, to intrigue others to listen to those. Now Patty does a lot of putting scriptures on. So she's planting all kinds of seeds. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you greater insight. First and foremost, you be praying about these people that are reading these scriptures. Pray that the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, if you haven't been, and even give him the opportunity. If somebody comes back and says, what is this, Patty? I don't really understand. Could you explain it more? And I learned in business that if we didn't have the answer, we always said, you know, I don't really know fully this, but I know somebody that does. And then you can refer them to somebody else. But the Holy Spirit knows every person. And that's why when he prompts us to do certain things, don't second guess him. Because you may not have any idea what had already been planted in somebody's heart before you arrived with what you shared with them. If our heart is right with God and with the person he sends to us to speak, we can say whatever the Holy Spirit inspires us to say and do. But if our heart is wrong, and the way the Lord needs to use us to be, and we go off and do our own thing, we'll push people away. And this is why I've always majored on having a personal relationship with the Lord first, so that you know when he's telling you to do something, you're not guessing. That's why I started my little journal in the beginning of my walk with the Lord, and I said, I'm his sheep and I hear his voice. And every time I sensed it was the Lord speaking to me about something, I wrote it down. And I went back and I revisited it and listened to what was going on the inside of me. This was kind of my own self-training with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it can do you good to help you become more proficient, so that you're not so in shock every time you maybe share something and somebody goes, you had no idea, I was just crying out for this and you showed up. And you can still be humble about it, like, okay, Lord, I know you told me to do this. Thank you very much for reaffirming that. That's why it's good to write down every time you believe you've heard from the Lord. And the Lord just prompted me in regards to our gratitude book. I've been enjoying writing it down. I know Maureen's sister wanted one, so we shipped one off to Texas for her. But the Lord said, add to your gratitude book in your journal. Start documenting gratitude when you know you heard from the Lord. That will help you to fine-tune that inner knowing from the Holy Spirit. Oh, that was his voice. That was his voice. And so what I've done in writing that down in my beginning years is I would go back and I would read it and relive how I knew that it was the Spirit of God speaking to me. He would bear witness with that remembrance. How many of you believe you're saved? You're born again. You receive Christ. All right? Do you realize that that has to be affirmed to you continually? Or you'll just wander away? And this is why it's good to have fellowship. Because have you ever met somebody that came to Christ and then they fell away? Because either they never affirmed it themselves, or they didn't put themselves around others to affirm they found the way. You know, when you think about salespeople, they're always trained to try to inspire you or maybe even entice you to want what they have. I've been going to Best Buy because I've been dealing with my computer. And you go there and you see the same equipment with all these different brands. What makes those brands continue to function? Somebody is continuing to put this before somebody's face to remind them how good their product is, or they're not going to keep selling it. And so when something doesn't sell, as John knows from being with Frito-Lay, they took it off the shelf. Salvation will always sell. If it is given priority and the ability to be led by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he would not have left us here. So, when I say win souls, that doesn't necessarily mean that you would be the one to say the sinner's prayer with that person. But part of winning them is getting them over to start thinking about Jesus, to start thinking about their eternal state, to start thinking about where are they, to start thinking about what are they doing with their life? Do you realize every single one of us had to come to this, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? And so that's why every person that is sent out as a laborer will have a different part to play. Yours may be just a reminder to somebody of something that maybe they were starting to let slip. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." The fruit of the righteous. I was tied to that tree. And the fruit of me being tied to that tree brought the tree of life to other people. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I went on an adventure and I realized how the Holy Spirit is so methodical in how he works with us. You might remember recently I was asking John, what was that movie we watched? And he said, Malta. Did you know Malta is actually in the Bible? I'm going to prove it. So we're going to read Acts 27. So let me get it. Starting with the first one. And this is a story about Paul. Such a fascinating story. It says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and a certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us." How many of you, before I keep going, have read this account of Paul on the boat in the past? Okay. It's a fascinating story. "And the next day, we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." How many of you have ever been on the ocean in a boat and it was windy? "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Critias, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous," I'll tell you, John and I were watching some movies, and you start thinking about this ship being impacted by the waves. I want you to just get a good picture of what is going on with the Apostle Paul. It says, "It was now dangerous because the fast was now already past. Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Now, Paul had a perception here, and you might say, well, don't you think everybody else knew that too? I, in my spirit, pick up, he had a different level of perception from the Holy Spirit. And you'll understand as we continue on. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Can you imagine being on this? What's going on? Anybody ever been on a boat in very bad weather on water? I mean, it gets to be really serious. Which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, would you say this was a bad storm? No. Sun for several days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What did he say? All hope. All man's hope, okay? But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. I'm telling you, we're living in a day that some people are going through tumultuous situations, and God's going to send you. Look at me in the eyes, everybody, right now. He's going to send you, not just me. He's going to send you to help people understand what they need to be doing. He said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. How many of you have ever raised your children, they did something that was out of the way, and you said, you should have listened to me? I don't believe Paul was being condemning. He's like, I tried to warn you. You should have listened to me. And he said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Now, don't you want a Paul on your boat? Don't you think people are going to want you on their boat in this day if you have answers for the reason of the hope that is in them? So now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Look at this. The Apostle Paul knew that he was going someplace, and he knew it was a God appointment. Just think about this. Because Paul knew this, he was able to save every single person on that boat. Do you realize there's certain things that God knows, you know? Look at me in the eyes. You know. There's things you know that are going to save people's lives in this day. Now, what it may be for Maureen may not be what it will be for Rich or Patty. Every person has a saving grace about them that God wants to use in this day. So Paul continues, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told to me." And this is really important. When God is telling you something, it's important you believe it. If he says, "Louise, I want you to go and share this with this person," you need to believe him. Because that's part of what's going to make things happen, is Paul believed God. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Now, I can't explain this to you nautically, but somehow they must have had some way to, what is it, hit something on the boat, Rich, that could bounce off of the land to let them know how far that they were. We can have Rich share later, but somehow he knew there was a means to know exactly how far they were from land. "Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" The thing they thought they needed to get rid of, Paul's saying, if you get rid of that, we won't be saved. This just shows you that when God gets involved in miraculous events, there's a lot of things that don't make sense to the natural man. But to the spiritual man, they make full sense. Just obey God. It doesn't matter. Just obey God. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide," okay, "you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, M-E-A-T, that means food, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." "Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health." God is very practical, even when he's going to do a miracle. "For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Amazing. So I did a little history research. And these researches have actually found the anchors that were part of the ship that Paul was on. But notice, it was God that was the anchor in that situation. And I thought it was such a great analogy for us to look at in this day, when people may be looking at all these natural things to save them, when they really need to be anchored in their soul to the will of God and the way that He wants to do things that may seem contrary, like the winds that were contrary. Interesting, back to the movie that I saw, because it said for the past 500 years, tradition, I found some people that do research in these things there, and so I found their website. And they said, tradition has held that the shipwreck of Paul occurred at St. Paul's Bay on the northeast shore of Malta, a view held by the people of Malta today. I want you to think, that was the movie John and I watched. That was the very island where this took place. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I see you've been like leading John to lead me to watch certain things, and then you bring this message to me. And it was amazing. I can send over the link to this Biblical Research Center, because they had so many great insights into exactly where it is, to the point where I said they found the actual anchors. It's good to know these things, that they weren't just, oh, some people say, well, you know, that's not real. God's not against finding artifacts, just like when we go to Israel and we see these incredible things. And it does a lot for a lot of people. It's not that we're to worship any of these artifacts, but it definitely helps you to see that God wants us to understand that He uses every part of the natural and the spiritual to help us grow and increase. And I believe in this last year, it's been like being on a ship like Paul was. And many people have felt that they have been bound. But I really believe that it's turning out for good, just like it did for the Apostle Paul. That through this, that God is causing people that He knows are able to handle this emergence in this day to have answers for the reason of the hope that is in us. I was talking to somebody recently that I haven't really talked to much, and they're not a family member, it's just somebody that I know. And as I shared certain things, they just began to sob. And I realized there's so many people that are very pent up on the inside, and they need people to have the answers for the reason of the hope that is in us. And so allow your soul to be anchored well in this day. Don't anchor to things that are not of God and things that cause people to fear. Anchor to the promises of God and anchor to those situations that He wants to send you into to bring answers for the reason of the hope that is in us. I really look forward to meeting the Apostle Paul someday. because he is probably one of my faith heroes. He really made a 360 turn from going from his religious upbringing. And it wasn't probably really easy, but when he made a decision to serve God, he made a decision to serve him 100%, no matter what. And he got the hundredfold return. And who knows that we may not be sitting in one of his classes in heaven someday, learning things, because he was no nonsense, but he had the goods. He had what people needed. And yet he had to learn some things too. When he was wrong, he went 100% when he was wrong, didn't he? When he believed 100%. And so you might have somebody that you would love to see come into the kingdom of God, and maybe they're just so adamant the other way, but usually what happens when they do come to Christ is they come 100%. So let the Holy Spirit use you in this day to speak to you, and I believe he is, even as this message has gone forth, to speak to you and who he's putting on your heart and what he wants you to wrap around yourself so that you can be steady in your faith in this day. Amen. Praise God. Now, I wouldn't put it past any of you to want to watch some of these movies that John and I have. The one Malta was quite an interesting experience, because we're living in a day that we're going from generation to generation, and we're going to leave, should the Lord tarry, our generation will leave behind to the next generation. But what are we going to leave behind? What are we going to leave behind? I definitely want to leave behind so much substance for my children that they can pass it on to their children. Amen.